From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in, as today we continue in our studies of the life of Christ, particularly paying attention once more to the temptations of the Lord Jesus. I mentioned near the beginning of the message today that Bishop Jeremy Taylor spoke of Christ as being led of the good spirit to be tempted of the evil. And we're going to look at something of that temptation of the evil spirit, when it happened, and as the week goes on, we will seek to show the divine providence at work in the temptation of the Lord Jesus. Before that, we will have our commentary for today, our hot topic, a really dumb crook. An interesting story, but first we start with the BJU Radio Choir, and they're singing, I Know a Fount Where Sins Are Washed Away. Here's a true story. I'm not making it up, believe me. It's the story of a really dumb crook. In Lincolnton, North Carolina, a guy had the bright idea of robbing a couple of banks. He successfully robbed the first one and proceeded to do the same again at another one. Again, he got the money and began to make his escape. For some reason or other, he decided to stop on his way out of the bank and remove his pants. Whether someone had told him that if he did this, people would be so surprised that they would pay less attention to his face, I don't know. But anyway, that's what he did. So, minus his pants, He jumped into his waiting vehicle and sped off, leaving the pants lying on the floor of the bank. I'm sure that by now you've guessed the rest of the story. Along came the police, examined the pants, and, yes, there in the hip pocket was the robber's billfold, complete with driving license. And now he lies in jail, awaiting trial. Now, that's a really dumb crook. But why do we call him dumb? I'm sure you may think me dumb for even putting the question. Anybody who robs a bank and at once leaves his photo ID with full name and address has to be dumb. Crime is wrong, but most people think that if you're going to do anything like that, you should at least try to conceal your identity, right? So why then do so many people who have no difficulty branding the Lincolnton robber dumb not apply the same standard to themselves? The Bible warns, be sure your sin will find you out. It tells us that all things are open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Every time a sinner sins, he leaves his complete ID, and there's no hope of his escaping the consequences of his sin. And yet most people do not think themselves dumb for imagining that somehow they'll get away with it. But their folly is infinitely greater than our dumb bank robbers. Having said all that, I should add that the gospel tells us that there is one way and only one way that sins can be removed from God's sight and erased from his records. That way is by receiving the cleansing power and saving merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To all who receive Christ as Savior, the Lord makes this promise, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Could there be a greater promise? And could there be any greater folly than to reject such a promise? Don't play the fool. It's time to enter in to the joy of sins forgiven and forgotten.
Hallelujah, it's done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. 'Tis the promise of God for salvation to give unto him who on Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. The pathway be lonely and dangerous too, surely Jesus is able to carry me through. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and it's coming to you out of Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring the broadcast to you day by day. Before I give you our mailing address and other ways to get in touch with us, I trust that you'll remember that if you haven't yet signed up to receive your free copy each quarter of the Let the Bible Speak full-color magazine, that you'll write or contact us and ask for it. I'd also draw to your attention our monthly devotional tape. It's a sort of an electronic magazine, very many interesting articles and teaching devices in it, and we'd be happy to let you have it. So please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you'd like to contact us by email, the email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-5827. That is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me, when I knew him not he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, we'll read from verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world,
and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. We return this morning to the subject that I dealt with or started to deal with a couple of Sabbath mornings ago on the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said then that it was a very deep and a very mysterious subject. It has perplexed the best theologians and Bible commentators from the dawn of church history, and it still does so today. We didn't get really very far. We, in fact, didn't get beyond what I had thought would be the brief introductory material. I must say it's with some fear that I return to this passage, because while the theme of it is very easily stated, I have to confess that I have neither the intellect, nor the experience, nor the vocabulary necessary to do justice to the theme that is before us in this part of God's Word. We read in Matthew 4, verse 1, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jeremy Taylor, a very famous old-time Anglican, said he was led of the good Spirit to be tempted of the evil. That's the theme that we're dealing with this morning. The Holy Ghost led the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness where he was tempted severely. If you can remember anything that I said, you'll remember that I emphasized the reality and the severity of the temptations of Christ. He was tempted severely by Satan. But, thank God, he was supremely triumphant over the tempter. As we look at this passage, I want us to think first and foremost of the divine providence in Christ's temptation. We read that he was led of the Spirit. Now, he was led that he might be tempted. That may signify that the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and as a result of that, he was tempted. I think, however, it is much more likely that the strict meaning of the words be observed, and that the Spirit led the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness in order that he might be tempted by the devil. Here you have an insight into the providence of God. It's a theme we'll think about a little more this evening in a different connection. But with the Lord Jesus, you see the mysterious working of the mind of God that immediately after his baptism in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit led him to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The word then is not just a note of time. It is not just saying this is the next event in the order of events. It does say that, but it says a whole lot more. The word then is connecting this with what goes before to show us that there is a reason in what goes before for what is happening here. We read at the end of chapter 3 how the Lord Jesus went up to be baptized, and how he said to John first, It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. His baptism, if you remember when we studied that, his baptism was part of Christ working out a perfect righteousness with which to clothe his people. He said it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he had the vision of the Spirit coming upon him like a dove. I'm not even going to get into what that suggests. I have to confess that when I read the efforts of the best theologians the world has ever seen to deal with the subject that raises, it leaves me very dissatisfied. You see, the Lord Jesus was not only perfect God, he was perfect man. He was born as a babe. His humanity was real. His babyhood was real. Now, it's very difficult, not only very difficult, it's utterly impossible for me or anybody else to begin to describe to you that union of deity and humanity and exactly how the deity operated in union with that humanity, particularly in the years of Christ's minority. He was a real baby. He was not a monster, a little, say, two-day-old baby speaking 44 foreign languages or discoursing upon deep theology or philosophy. Now, obviously, the deity in Christ was omniscient, knew everything that may be known. But the humanity was real. And theologians have struggled with how the deity of Christ operated in union with the humanity so as to allow that humanity to develop naturally, if I may put it that way. Luke says that he grew in wisdom. Now there again we have a tremendous mystery. You have the omniscient God in union with a true humanity. And we are told of the person, he grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge. Big question is, at what point was the man, Christ Jesus, fully conscious of his messianic position? I go back to when he was just a boy of 12. He certainly was able to say that he was about his father's business already. But something happened at the baptism so significant that very early Christians, they soon dropped this because of how it was perverted by heretics, but very, very early Christians spoke of the baptism of Christ as his second nativity. The first nativity was the incarnation. But when the Spirit came upon him, it was not the crowd who saw the vision. We learn from John that John saw it, but we learn in Matthew that Jesus saw the Spirit coming upon him like a dove. And there is a mystery there of the full impartation to the manhood of Christ of the consciousness of all that was involved in his being God manifested in the flesh, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Prophet, the Priest, the King of his people. There was that vision of the Spirit coming upon him. And then, of course, there was the voice from heaven. When the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, who immediately said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Immediately after the baptism. I think here you'll see a very clear evidence of how the devil goes to work. The Lord Jesus is marked here at his baptism, or should I say his baptism is marked by these three things. I'll alliterate them so that you can't ever forget them. There was the virtue. of his commitment to righteousness, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then there was the vision of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And then there was the voice identifying him as the Son of God. Then he was led up by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.